Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Amen. Hallelujah. So before we start, let's have a word of prayer. Father God, we come before you and we humble ourselves at your feet. And we ask, Father God, for you to bless us by washing us with the water of your word. We ask, Father God, that our eyes would be clear, that our ears would not be clogged, and that our hearts would be open. And for this, Father God, we honor you, and we praise your holy, precious name. And we thank you, Father God, that the enemy has no authority here. Only Jesus has all authority here. And we thank you for these things, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Just make sure your phones are off. Amen. Let me ask you a question. If you wanted to get oil out of an olive, how would you do that? Crush it, press it, bring it into a lot of pressure so that it yields its oil. Amen? I'm going to tell you guys, I'm the olive. If you want my oil, you are going to have to press me. You're going to have to pull it out of me so I can give you everything that you possibly need today. Amen? I've come prepared to be pressed. You must come prepared to be the presser, press E, all right? So my topic is in Ephesians, and I was told it was a secret purpose. That's okay. I need you to understand two basic truths when we start. I need you to understand that concerning our relationship with God, it's always a matter of the heart. Always a matter of the heart. It's never how you feel. It's never about your circumstances. It's never about your raising. It's never about who you are in society. It always has to do with your attitude of your heart. Either your heart is open or your heart is closed. Either your heart is flexible or your heart is hard. And it's these kind of attitudes that we must have when we come to God so that our heart condition is right in order to be able to receive that which he gives us. And the other thing that's the truth that we need to understand from the word of God is that our position always begins in an area of repentance. And you go, why does my position always have to be in repentance? Because when it comes to what we're going to talk about today, and I show you some of these things, you need to understand that either you agree with God and you understand where he's coming from, and you understand what he's asking you, and your heart is open, or you realize, no, you haven't done what God wants you to do, you haven't listened to what God has said, you haven't opened your heart, and you must repent. It's as simple as that. It's as simple as that. So these two truths we need to understand. All right, so now, the book of Ephesians, I love the book of Ephesians. And the book of Ephesians, the main thought process here from looking at different scholars is it wasn't so much a book that was sent to the church or the people of Ephesus, but it was more of a letter that circulated through all of the churches because this truth that the apostle was telling them needed to be told not just in one area, not just in one church, but for all of God's people to know this truth, okay? And so when we understand these truths, if you grab a hold of this, I promise you, you will not walk out of these doors the same way you walked in. It's impossible for you to walk out the same way you walked in if you grab these truths. Amen? All right. So, let's begin here. In Ephesians stresses the importance of knowing who we are in Christ and what our position is and what our purpose is, and it is to be recognizable. Do you hear me? Our position and our purpose in Christ should be recognizable. You cannot be a Christian, you cannot follow God's truths and people don't recognize it about you. Whether they say good things about you, whether they say bad things about you, whether they contradict or try to contradict what you believe, it doesn't matter. It must be recognizable. If people can't see you, if people can't hear you, if people can't embrace you in such a way that they go, he's a Christian, you got a problem. And I don't mean that to be ugly. But how do I know a soldier? Because he's in soldier gear. He's in soldier armor. How do I know a police officer? Because he's wearing a badge. How do I know a fireman? Because he's wearing fireman garb. I grew up in the city. I grew up in New York. I grew up in the Bronx. I understood gangs. I understood colors. If you were in a certain gang, you had certain colors. And when you saw the colors, you said, I know what that gang is. That gang's from East Side. This is the gang from South Side. Oh, we don't want to mix those two together. That becomes ugly. But they understood. You knew who was who. And as Christians, we need to be recognizable. As Christians, in 2 Corinthians 3:18, watch what it says. And we, who with unveiled faces all reflect the Lord's glory, are being transformed into his likeness with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. My Bible's telling me that every day, somehow or another, I should be changing into such a form that I look more and more and sound more and more and believe and act more and more like Jesus to people that see me. Because I need to be recognizable. Hello? You can't just be Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. That's just not good enough anymore because the world is being worldly Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. We just can't be godly Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. You need to be recognizable. Well, Carlos, you don't seem to understand. In today's society, with everything that's going on, you say, Jesus, I might lose my job. For you have not yet shed blood. Huh? And you're talking about your job? Got to be recognizable. Ephesians supersedes your opinions, your experiences, your conditions, and your past. That's what Ephesians does. It takes away all of that stuff when we find out what Ephesians begins to tell us. Ephesians, I love this. Ephesians is a past tense book that talks about your present time and your future time. Isn't that amazing how you can have all of that? Ephesians is a past tense book. When you read some of the things that tells you, it says it has been, it was, this is. And you look, oh, that's all in the past. Because it's talking about if that was in the past, it leads you to where you are today and where you go tomorrow. It's a past tense book. I talked about today and tomorrow. So now let's look here, if we please read with me, Ephesians chapter 1. I'm going to go ahead. I'm going to AR-15 you. You know what that means? I'm going to bet you, right? So hang on, right? Hang on. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, to the saints in Ephesus, the faithful in Christ Jesus. Grace and peace to you from our God and Father, the Lord Jesus Christ. Here we go. Praise be to God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has past tense, blessed us in heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For he chose, past tense, he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined, past tense, us to be adopted as his sons through Jesus Christ in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in one he loves. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us with all wisdom and understanding. And he made known to us, past tense, he made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ to put into effect when the times will have reached their fulfillment, to bring all things in heaven and on earth together under one head, even Christ. Let's stop there for a moment because I got to dissect this for you for a minute. Hello. Let me go ahead and start off here. He says, he has blessed us with in heavenly realm, in heavenly blessings. Now, how many of you guys are today physically, where are you? Where are you physically today? You're sitting right here in a chair. This is where you are physically. My Bible tells me the recognizable part of me, the part of me that should be open, the part of me that should have a heart that is open to God, the part of me that needs to be repented, says, oh no, I am seated in heavenly places as a blessing. This is where I am. So if I'm in heaven, in heavenly places, how does someone who is in heaven act? Like a heavenly citizen. Not like a worldly, earthly, South Carolinian, Augustan, whatever person. Because it is to be recognizable. And when we're not there, we need to say to God, Father God, I repent that I have not. Father God, I repent that I was feared into not. Father God, I repent that I didn't know to stand up and be these things. Because we are heavenly placed with spiritual blessings. We are heavenly minded people. How are we heavenly minded people? How are we heavenly blessed? Well, let me tell you this. When you say the Lord's Prayer, tell me the Lord's Prayer. Come on. Okay, where does it start? But where is he? In heaven. All right, give me the rest of it. Our Father who art in heaven. Oh, that thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. In other words, it doesn't start in earth to mimic heaven. No, it's heaven being mimicked on earth. That's where it comes from. It's not the other way around. And so he tells us, we are blessed in heavenly places, and his will on earth is supposed to be exactly how it is in heaven. Well, how's his will in heaven? You got to know what his will in heaven is. What do you have in heaven? You don't have sin. You don't have sickness. You don't have disease. You don't have death. You don't have murder. You don't have poverty. You don't have drugs. You don't have all of these things. What do you have in heaven? Life in its purest form. Life in its purest form. What else do you have in heaven? The same thing that God says. For he gives. It says, I have come to give you life and to give it to you. Oh, wait a minute. More abundant. More abundant. If you know anything about the English language, you don't need the word more and abundant. Abundant means more. But he's emphasizing how much more he wants to give you. This is how heaven is to be on earth. Thy will be done. So we have spiritual blessings. What else is in a spiritual heavenly blessing that I have here? Well, isn't there a place in your Bible that says something like this? Whatever you bind, where? And wherever you loose. That's a spiritual heavenly blessing. Because God understands binding and loosing. He understands it. So what does he want us to do? He wants us to bind those things that need to be bound. Hello. Why does he want us to bind them here? Because they're bound in heaven. Why does he want us to loose them here? Because they're loose in heaven. That's why he wants us to do this. Notice what else he says. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. He chose us before the beginning of the world. What people, we have now gone way past before you were in your mother's womb. All right? We're talking about now while you are still a heavenly thought in God's mind. And he chose you, past tense, where? He chose you in heaven, but on earth you were where? You weren't born again. You weren't born again, were you? You were where? In your sins. And so he chose you before the world was even formed, knowing you were going to be in your sin. He chose you. Why? Because God doesn't see you that way. God sees you before the worlds were made. That's how God sees you. And he chose you to be what? Notice what it says. You got to read what it says. He chose us to be what? He chose us before the beginning of the world to be blameless in his sight. To be blameless in his sight. Holy and blameless, our position in his sight. Christ does not see you, and Christ does not see the sinner as they are. Christ sees you and the sinner as you will be. And how will you be? It's pretty simple, people. It's Christianity 101. For now, I look into a mirror dimly. I really can't make out what I'm seeing here. I kind of get an idea what it looks like, but I don't fully see it 100% yet. But you know what's happening? God, slowly but surely, day by day by day, that I am making myself known, that I am making myself recognizable, that I am doing that which God wants me to do, that I am opening up my heart and I am repenting, God takes away a little bit of the smudge on the mirror. And I keep doing this, and then God turns around, he takes a little bit more, and I go, oh, I'm beginning to see an image. I'm beginning to see something that is recognizable. And if you think what you're going to see is you got problems. Because what you should see is Jesus Christ in you, the hope of glory. And that is what people should be seeing. Listen, people are always out there looking for a hope. They don't say it, but they are always looking for hope. They are always looking for an answer. They are always looking for that thing. And if you are recognizable, they will come to you and they will ask you, what is it about this thing you have? Man, when that happens, you best respond quickly. Quickly. All right, what else does he say? He says, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he freely, a little bit further up. Holy and blameless in his sight, but in love, he predestined us to be adopted as his sons through Jesus Christ in accordance with his pleasure and goodwill. Let me read to you Romans. Romans 1:4. And who through the Spirit of holiness was declared with power to be Son of God by his resurrection from the dead, Jesus Christ our Lord. Through him and for his name's sake, we receive grace and apostleship to call people from among all Gentiles to the obedience that comes from faith, and you who are among those who are called to belong to Jesus Christ. What was he saying here? Who was being predestined? Who was being predestined? We were. Well, who are you? Anybody in here Jewish? Anybody in here Jewish? I'm not Jewish. My last name's not Epstein. No one in here is Jewish. You know who he was calling? You know who he was predestining here? It wasn't the children of Israel. They were already called. They were already his. Those who was predestined, those who he's chosen, those who he's called are us. The Gentiles. The ones who didn't deserve it. Those are the ones, you got to love it. Those are the ones who are recognizable in the New Testament. Not the Jewish people. God said to them, man, you need to get the scales off your eyes. And the Gentiles are going, I can see. I can see. In Romans 8, 28 through 30. And we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. For those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the likeness of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. And to those he predestined, he also called. Those to be called, also he justified. And those he justified, he also glorified. People, I'm telling you, this is your position. This is who you are. Let's not walk around, pamsy-pamsy Christians. Charlie Brown, wishy-washy Christians. No. Do you not understand that the same Spirit of God that is in you that raised Jesus Christ from the dead, do you know how powerful that is? And yet we think it's us. It is not us. It is Jesus Christ in us. And some of us need to repent because we don't act that way. Some of us need to repent because we don't think of ourselves that way. Some of us need to repent because we don't show others Jesus that way. It's not that you're bad. It's not that you're confused. It's just that you need to go ahead and be that which God calls you. You are. I have no problem with that. I really don't. I don't know why. But if God says you are blessed, I'm blessed. If God says you are redeemed, I'm redeemed. If God says you're sanctified, I'm sanctified. If God says you're holy, you're blameless, you're pure, I'm all those things. See, my flesh and the enemy are over here saying, no, you're not, no, you're not, no, you're not, no, you're not, no, you're not. And the day I turn around, I go, yeah, maybe I'm not because I know what I did yesterday. You need to repent and be that which God called you to be. It's a daily thing, people. It's a daily thing to be that which God called you to be. All right, let me continue here. In him, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us with all wisdom and understanding. Redemption. He redeemed us from having to pay the price. What is the price? What caused the payment? Sin, right? And so he allowed us to get debt-free because he paid a debt that he didn't know. He owed a debt that he paid the debt I couldn't pay. Why? Because sin always gets paid. Sin always gets paid. And I must understand that even though sin always gets paid, listen to me, I might tilt some of you guys. I am not a sinner. Amen. You hear me? Do not walk around saying, oh, I'm just a sinner saved by grace. No, you are a saint. That's what the Bible says. See, I have no problem being that which God calls me. See, I can't help it that I happen to have a Hispanic last name. I'm Hispanic. I can't do anything about it. I'm not 6'2". I'm short. Can't do anything about it. I'm not white. I'm pecan tan. I'm not black. I'm pecan tan. Can't do anything about it. I am who I am. Do you know what? In Jesus Christ, I am who he says I am. You guys got to get on board with this. You really have got to grasp this, that everything he's telling you in Ephesians as to who you are, what your position is, and what God calls you to be that which he is. Please, please, please tell the devil to shut up. Amen. Don't believe that what your parents tell you you are, that you're no good, you'll never amount to anything. Don't believe that what somebody tells you, well, you're like that because you had bad potty training. No. Jesus Christ and his calling and his redemption and his forgiveness and his chosenness of you supersedes all of that. All of it. I can't put it in you guys. I cannot put it in you. But I can tell you. And you have to choose. You must choose today. I am going to be and believe that which Jesus Christ says I am. Or I'm not. And if you're not, ask God, forgive me, God. Start off there. But open your heart to what God calls you. And listen. I'll be the first to say, there's nothing special about me. Not a thing. I will tell you that I happen to be God's favorite. What's so funny? Oh, see, if you really believe that, you'll act differently. If you really believe what God calls you, you'll act differently. You'll pray differently. Trust me, you will. You will come to the Word of God differently. You will come to praise and worship differently. See, because if you understand what God has called you to be, all these things change. They all change. People, I was born and raised Catholic, and I love, there's plenty of people that are Catholic that really love the Lord, have great spiritual experiences, and I don't have anything against them. But when I was starting to hear the truth, when somebody was reading the Word of God to me, when somebody was telling me this is what it is, I needed to make a decision that day and say, that is what's going to set me free. And in my freedom, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Hello? Notice what else. He gives us forgiveness. He cleared that debt by grace that we didn't know. And he gives us wisdom. Notice what it says. With the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us with all wisdom and understanding. With all wisdom and understanding. And he lavished that on us. He gave it to us so that we may know him better. Better than what? That you may know him better. Better than what? See, when you read the Word of God, you just can't gloss over stuff. You need to read it and ask yourself, ask the Holy Spirit, that I may know him better. Better than what? Say that again. Oh, sister. That you may know him better than today. Because today you have this much of understanding of Jesus Christ. And God says, no, he lavished upon you all of the wisdom and understanding that you need so that tomorrow you know him better. Better. Not the same. God doesn't want you just understanding salvation and you go to church and you tithe and that's it. No, God wants you to know him better every day, day in, day out, day in, day out. Get to know him better. See, my Bible tells me that my outward man is decaying day by day by day. Lord, I know. All right? I used to get up on the roof, no problem. Now I get up on the roof and my knees go, what are you doing up here? All right? My outward man is decaying day by day by day. But you know what? My Bible tells me that my inward man is growing glory to glory to glory to glory. Amen? So this is how I understand that God wants me to be in heaven, in heavenly places. He put me there. Watch this. Go up to verse 10. To put into effect when the times will have reached their fulfillment, to bring all things in heaven and on earth together under one head, even Jesus Christ. When the time was right, God moved on behalf of the Jews. Amen? Amen? When the time was right, Jesus came. Amen? When the time was right, salvation was extended to the Jews and the non-Jews. Amen? When the time is right, we were born. When the time was right, we were born again. Right? There came a time when we were born again. That was a fulfillment of the time. Everything that came into place, that needed to come into place, came into place. There is a time of fulfillment when Jesus will come again. This is what he's talking about. When all things come into a fulfillment, there is a destination. There is an end goal. There is an end game. Hello? And it is for us. It is for us. The world will only know him through us. And if you're not recognizable, if you don't take these positions that God has called you, that he's redeemed you, that he's lavished upon you, he's given you wisdom, he's given you understanding for the fullness of the times in your life, in somebody else's life, then if it's not recognizable, they have no reason. They have no hope. You don't know if you're the last person between, you don't know if you're the last person between them going to heaven or them going to hell. You don't know. You don't know. So every day we must be somehow or another planting a little seed. See, I'm free in understanding that Jesus Christ said, some will plant, some will water, some will reap, right? I understand that. And I don't get hung up in which one I am that day. And see, that's freedom. So that day I can plant and walk away. The next day I can come in water. Oh, no bloom yet, and walk away. And one day I go, oh, this one's ripe. Come on, right? And I'm free because this is what God called. As long as I am recognizable to people, as long as I give them the hope because I understand who I am, because I have an open heart and I repent to God every chance I get, I can be these things. Now, let's go on a little further. Ephesians 1:11. In him we were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan in him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will, in order that we who were the first to hope in Christ might be for the purpose of his glory. And you were included in Christ when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Having believed, you were marked in him with the seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are in God's possession to the praise of God, to the praise of his glory. All right, so what does this see? He's telling us something here that's also past tense. We were conformed to his will. We were conformed to his will. Man, I didn't feel like I was conforming yesterday. See, that's the problem. We compare our position with Christ by what we say is real, by what we say is truth. And God says, no, I am conforming you to my will. Here's the part we play. You ready? How many guys own a dog? How many of you love your dog? How many of you guys take care of your dog, right? Whose will does that dog conform to? Yours, right? You don't let that dog do stuff in the house that he's not or she's not supposed to. You don't let that dog tear up something that they're not supposed to tear up. You don't let that dog go out into the street because it knows better, because it is conformed to your will. So why is he conformed to your will? Because you own him. Or her. You feed him or her. You take care of him or her. You take him or her to the vet to make sure they're healthy. Guess what? We are being conformed to God's will. Why? Because he owns us, because he takes care of us, because he takes us to the vet when we need to be shot, all right? Because he takes us for walks and says, here's the onyx, here's the gold, here's this river, here's that fruit. He tells us these things. He takes us for walks through his word, and he says, this is what it means. This is what it means. This is what it means. Dwell upon this. Dwell upon this. Repeat this. Hide it. I mean, put it up on places where you can see it. Hide it in your heart. This is what he does, just like us with our animals. Well, listen, if it's not God's will, whose will is it going to be? If it's not God's will, whose will it be? Ours. And that is the highest form of rebellion that you can think of. You don't think so? Go back and read Pharaoh. Go back and read Pharaoh. Pharaoh, when do you want these frogs to leave? They have frogs everywhere. Frogs in the bed, frogs in the bathroom, frogs in the bread, frogs in the soup, frogs in the hair. Pharaoh, when do you want these frogs to leave? Tomorrow. Really? Really? See, this is why I'm saying, if it's not God's will, whose will it be? Can't be ours. Has to be his. All right, what else? For him to be glorified. Oh, I love this. For him to be glorified in me, in my life. How do I glorify God? Well, there's a nice, real easy way that we glorify God. Who said it? What'd you say? Praise him. Praise and worship, right? So here's where the opening of the heart and the repentance comes in. You ready? I'm going to step on some toes. I'm a musician by heart. I play instruments. I love music. I grew up with it, all right? I love, well, except for maybe country, but I like pretty much all kinds of music. And I don't care if it's a little loud. I don't care if it's, you know, a little hard drive beat maybe. I don't even mind if it's a ballad or a melody, sweet, soft. I like music. And so in praise and worship, I need to have an open heart. And I also need to repent when I say something like, that music minister's gone a little bit too long. No, we laugh. But listen, I'm talking about a heart condition. Just how long is right to worship God? Heaven says, I'm going to worship him 24/7. And you're talking about the music minister went 20 minutes. Well, I don't like that song. Well, God doesn't like your attitude about that song. God says, you should be able to worship me. Well, I don't like that electric guitar in church. Now, I'm not trying to say these things to make you feel bad. All I'm showing you is a condition of the heart and how we need to repent. I don't know about you, but I want Psalms 150 in my church. I want it all. I want it all. I want the harps. I want the drums. I want the horns, the sounding cymbals, the high sounding cymbals, the stringed instruments. I want it all. I won't be satisfied until I turn around and there's a 150-piece band behind me going, hallelujah. Right? Now, listen, why is this so important? I'm going to tell you why it's so important. You got to understand. We're talking about Ephesians. We're talking about how you have been placed in these places before all of this time. Listen, there's this guy, pretty nasty guy. His name is Lucifer. And Lucifer had a fantastic job. Lucifer did what? He held the great honor of leading all of heaven in praise and worship. Do you know the difference? Do you know the difference? Praise is when I tell God how great he is. God, you are so great. That's what praise is. You know what worship is? Worship is when you go, Father God, I am not worthy. Father God, I'm not worthy. Because when you get up, you're changed. When you get up, you're changed. And now watch what happened. He falls. Do you think God is not going to replace the person that held the position of praise and worship? He did. Who did he replace it with? Us, the church, to the praise of his glory. Why? Because he redeemed me. Because he chose me. Because he predestined me. Because he set me in heavenly places. Because he blessed me. Because of all of these things that we've been talking about. Because of who you are in Christ Jesus. It's your position. It's who you are. And God says, act like who I say you are. Oh, people. My Bible tells me that I have a treasure, a valuable treasure, hidden in a vessel of clay. And that is meant to be broken. It is meant to be broken. He gave us salvation, which is the entrance to our position. He gives us ownership, which is the keeping of our position. And he sealed us with a deposit, which is the guarantee of our position. God just doesn't put you in this position and go, okay. No, he's turning around and he says, listen, I need you to understand that I have saved you, so therefore here's your entrance to your position. I own you, so here's the keeping of your position, and I'm going to seal you with a guarantee of a deposit, and that is the guarantee of your position of who you are in Christ Jesus. It can't be taken away. You can't fail God. Hello? You just can't. Last but not least, all of these things that we talked about were past tense. Let's talk about future. Notice what he says here in verse 15. For this reason, sometimes you got to stop and see what the reason is. Sometimes when you see therefore, you got to stop and see what it's there for, right? For this reason, what reason? Ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. Watch what he says. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, watch this. Now this is present and future. May give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. There's that thing again. Know him better than what? How much better does he want you to know him? Let me give you an example in the Word of God. Jesus was hanging out with his disciples, and Jesus asks them a great question. Jesus comes up to one and says, who do the people say I am? And this one says, well, some people say you're Elijah. Who do people say I am? Well, some people say you're kind of John or somebody. But who do you see the difference? Who do people say I am? Who do people say I am? Who do you say I am? And your response is, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God, right? And what does Jesus say? He says, no one has revealed this to you because it wasn't their privilege. It was God's privilege to reveal this to you. And upon this revelation of who I am, I will build my church. This is what he says. This is exactly what he says. And I'm reading the Word of God, and I'm listening. I'm looking at this, and I'm going, oh, my goodness. He's giving us this wisdom and revelation to know him better so that I can be able to say, thou art the Christ. And when I admit thou art the Christ in all areas of my life and all the things that I look at and all the things that I do, I have to bend my knee. My knee must bend. And I go, Father God, oh, Lord, did I not do right today? And Father God, I know you don't hold today as the standard for my tomorrow. I don't. And you guys have trouble with the past? See, if you have trouble with the past, let me tell you what's going on, people. God doesn't want you in the past because he knows you can't do anything about yesterday. It's gone. All you have is today. Because tomorrow is not guaranteed, right? So watch what happens. The devil knows this too. And if the devil can keep you in the past, he'll beat you today. Hear what I'm saying? If he keeps you in the past, he's already beating you today. And if he beats you today, if you're already downtrodden today, you have no hope for tomorrow. All right? You got to understand this, people. You got to understand this. To know him better. Watch what he says. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope in which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints. God wants your, he doesn't want your eyes to be open. He doesn't want your ears to be open. It's a condition of the heart. I started off with this. He wants the eyes, the seeing part of your heart, to know this which he has given to you. See, if you get it up here, you won't get it. Okay? He wants you to take it here. Why here? Because here is where faith resides. All right? This is where faith resides. So he says, I want the eyes of your heart to be able to see me and see in such a way that it is all clear. I need you to see me in such a way that he says, that you may know the hope which is he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints. I have a glorious inheritance. I am rich. Anybody else in here rich? I've been going on for about 45 minutes. Can I ask you a question? Have I said anything that is not biblical? Have I said anything that is not true? Have I said anything that has given you a reason to stand up a little taller, to have your chest out a little more, to have a hope and a future for tomorrow? See, it's just starting today. If I'm here next year, if I am, I don't know, and you're here next year, I expect to see a different you. I expect to see a different you. The eyes of your heart, seeing God with all our hearts. Some of us like to call that rhema. Notice what Galatians 4:6 says. Because you are sons, God sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts. The Spirit who calls out, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but a son. And since you are a son, God has made you also an heir. Please, people, notice what he's telling you. He says, look, I want your heart to understand that you are no longer a slave. I want you to understand that you are now a son. And if you are a son, you have the right to everything I have. So let me ask you a question. I don't know some of you people. I'm just going to point. Ready? You ready? Here we go. What do you need of God right now, today? Everything. So, I'm going to tell you what the Spirit of God says. God says, I'll give you everything, but he'd rather give you the one thing that will make everything better. Okay? Let's not Sherwin William our prayers. We don't want to coat the earth. We want to come to God boldly because of who I am. We want to come to God and say, Father God, this is what I need of you today. What do you need from God today? What do you want from God today?
I want to see him.
Okay. And how would you see him? I'm going to show you. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. I know that sounds, I'm not trying to be cynical or trying to be, but I want you to see. I want you to understand how good our God is to us who believe. I want you to understand how good your God is when he tells you this is who you are. When God says, look, I want you to come to me like an heir. Don't come to me like a slave. Don't come to me groveling. Don't come to me begging me. Don't come to me doubtfully. You come to me and believe that you're my father and I'm your son and I'm an heir, which means I'm entitled to the whole kingdom. And Father God, this is what I want. And I'm not talking about being frivolous. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about coming to God and say, Father God, I need some revelation concerning this scripture. Father God, I need a healing for this thing that's going on in my body. Father God, I need some peace for this thing that I'm struggling with in my mind. Hello? What do you need from God today? Well, then you need to come to him like it belongs to you. I have no problem coming to God that way. Oh, Carlos, that sounds real arrogant. That sounds a little cocky. No! If that's what you think, you don't understand God. You don't. What was it that Jesus said to the soldier who came to him and said, look, my servant is sick. I need you to pray for him. He says, okay, I'll go to your house. He says, no, you don't have to come. Just say the words, and I believe that he'll be healed. See, because I tell people to come, and I tell people to go, and they do exactly what I say. So if you just say it, I know he'll be healed. And Jesus said, such great faith I have never seen in all of Jerusalem. This guy understood authority. This guy understood hierarchy. This guy said, you say it, and it's done. Well, that's what God says to you. God says, come to me. The way I want you to come to me. Come to me the way I made you before the world, beginning of the worlds. Come to me like I told you are, redeemed. Come to me before, like I told you are, chosen. Come to me like I told you are, forgiven. Come to me with wisdom and understanding that you are. Come to me this way. And see if I will not open the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing to overtake you. I'm like a horse. Be opened. Start off with your heart. Let me end this way. Well, let me finish reading this and I'll say. I pray that the eyes of your heart be enlightened in the order that you may know the hope in which he has called you, the riches in his glorious inheritance in the saints, and his comparably great power for us who believe. That power is like the working of his mighty strength, which he exerted in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him in his right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every title that can be given, not only in this present age, but also in the one to come. And God placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be head over everything for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him, who fills everything in every way. And I know you guys have heard this because it's Christianity 101, but if I'm in his body, and I don't care what part of the body I'm in, I don't care if I'm the little toe, I'm still in his body, and everything is underneath his feet. And if it's underneath his feet, it's underneath my feet. All right? So be open to know the hope that he called you to be his. Be open to the calling that is complete without reproach. God has called each and every one of us. Don't negate your calling just because you don't have the title pastor or reverend or bishop or whatever. All right? You have, each and every one of you have a calling. Be open to that. Be open to his power, not ours, but his towards us. And be open to the position that you have, which is complete. Let me write. I'm going to say it to you the way I wrote it down. Be open to the position that you have, which is completely complete, not lacking anything. Not lacking anything. And I'm going to tell you right now, here's what I want you to do. Here's my prayer for you. We only read chapter 1 of Ephesians. And this letter was supposed to be circulated to all the churches so that they would know. I want you guys to be the walking, talking letter of Ephesians to everyone and anyone you come in contact with. Amen? Amen? Father God, we just come before you, Lord. We thank you, Jesus. We glorify your holy name. We glorify your presence. We glorify the Holy Spirit that's here. We thank you, Father God, for your word, that it is so true, so powerful, so magnificent. A word that will never go away. A word that is eternal. And I thank you for that. And Father God, I just ask right now, Lord, that your word, not mine, your word that had been put into my brothers and sisters' hearts would be sealed right now, Lord. And that the enemy will not come and take not a one seed away from it, but it would be sealed and pushed down deep. That it would go down into that good soil, Lord, and it will return, Father God. I'm believing, Lord, that your word is true. It will return and increase. It will return fruit. And I just glorify you for that. Father God, I just thank you, Lord, that this word would just grab hold of my brothers and sisters' hearts. That they would understand that God has raised them up. That God has put them in heavenly places with you, with heavenly blessings. Father God, let them understand just how important they are. Let them understand, Father God, just how blessed they are to be called sons of God. Let us understand, Father God, that our hearts need to be right to believe and accept everything that you say about us, no matter what our experiences are, no matter what our history is, no matter what people have said or saying about us. Let all men be a liar, but let God be true. And so, Father, I thank you. I thank you, Father God, that if they couldn't write it all down, Lord, that you would, through the Holy Spirit, bring it to their remembrance. Father God, I just ask that as they go back and read your word, that it would just come alive to them again, Father. And they would be able to raise their hands, Lord, and worship you and glorify you for the truth that you have to say about them. Because you love us. You love us. And I thank you for it all, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.